On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Stairs number 40, Matt Robinson with you. We're talking about a legend on her way out. This is the Unforced Errors podcast, number 40. To be honest with you, I wanted to get this out a little while ago, and it is Saturday night. Just watched the Toronto Maple Leafs defeat the Ottawa Senators, score a 4-2. Get to that later on. Also just watched the Haley Wickenheiser retirement ceremony put on in Edmonton. And I know already what you're thinking, I'm going to rip them, and I'm not. At least not really. A legend, really, calls it quits. Put out a tweet on Friday night. I'm sure the people who mattered, her family, her friends, her teammates, her coaches, or whatever, found out in a better way than we did, which is really how that should go. But just kind of out of nowhere, I'm watching the Leafs versus the Rangers, and this tweet flashes across from Haley Wickenheiser. Thanks, Canada. Been an honor to play for you. Hanging them up. Hashtag graduation day. I'm paraphrasing a little, but it really was kind of that quick. So tonight in Edmonton, which I guess was Wickenheiser's favorite team growing up and I guess still, they honored her this evening. She was there with some family, with some teammates, which was kind of cool, with some young, girls, players. Wayne Gretzky was there, obviously as a member of the Edmonton Oilers management group, but also as a, you know, hockey legend. I thought the Oilers did a real nice job. I'm going to nitpick just a little bit, but it's not an Oilers thing. The organization here did a great job. I really liked the video package. Actually, I'm going to say I didn't, but I'm not sure that was entirely their fault. I think the video package would have been better left to... they started with a couple of young hockey players thanking Haley Wickenheiser for being inspiring. I thought that was pretty cool. Thanking her for doing the things that she had done throughout her career and being an inspiration to them. And there was some really cool things that were said there, and I was really digging it. And then Mark Messier's on there. And I mean, that was fine. He didn't say anything I didn't like, but it wasn't necessary. And then the real kicker, well, by the sounds of the crowd, and you can correct me, especially if you were in the building in Edmonton, but maybe if you know the Edmonton crowd better. There was two. Gary Bettman, of course, has to plug his ugly mug into all of these things. I don't know why. And you know what? We'll get to that. The second one was Justin Trudeau. It came off like both he and Bettman were booed. The Western Canadian dynamic right now is a little different than it has been in the past. I think most people... think of Edmonton as being a little right wing, but they have voted left here recently, so it's hard to tell. So maybe it wasn't booing. It came off on TV as booing when Trudeau's face came up on the big screen there. Bettman also got booed. That's not a surprise. He gets booed in any Canadian arena. A little strange in Edmonton as he kind of, at times, man, the Oilers were in trouble. This is going back a long time now, and I don't know that he helped save them. Canadian fans don't like to give him any credit, and I'm right there with them because I don't like him. I don't know what he was doing there. I guess he wasn't there. That's the other thing. He was on video from his office in New York, and I don't really expect him to fly out there because I don't think it has anything to do with him. It's not like Haley Wickenheiser played in the National Hockey League. But Canadian hockey fans, right or wrong, and I think they're right, resent Gary Bettman. We don't like him. We don't care what he has to say. And he comes off as a disingenuous douchebag. So Haley Wickenheiser never played in the NHL. And we'll get to some of her accomplishments here and some of my memories of her here. And I do want to do another show down the road. I don't know how far along it'll be, but we have some other personalities that are part of this network who maybe have their own opinions on Haley, positive, but maybe more informed than mine, maybe more personal than mine, and so I'd like to do that as we go. Gary Bettman is irrelevant in this situation. Messier, I guess, if it was up to me, and again, it's not an Oilers thing, because really, I think the organization did a pretty good job with the ceremony. I think the fans were fantastic. And if she was an Oilers fan growing up, then sure, Messier goes in, or like into the video package, right? Why wouldn't he be there? He was a big part of that. But really, Gary Bettman doesn't belong there at all, because Canadian fans of the sport don't want to hear from him. She never played in the NHL. And the NHL really has never done very much for women's hockey. They'll tell you different. There are press releases out there that says, you know, we donated $5,000 here. And this is a $4 billion business. But $5,000 to this little thing and that little thing and whatever. So that was really, I'm nitpicking, and that's not an Edmonton thing. I assume the NHL called and said, hey, if you're doing this, then Gary's going to talk. And at that point, what do you really do? You're kind of stuck to it. Here's the only thing I didn't like. And again, this isn't an Edmonton thing because it's happening a lot, but I don't like it. Whoever is writing the script for the in-house PA announcer in Edmonton failed terribly. Just like numerous national newspapers and radio stations and this and that are failing miserably in terms of how they handle this. Why is it that she is introduced as one of Canada's top women's hockey players ever? Why can't you say one of Canada's top hockey players ever? Why can't you say that? Why can't she be recognized, and this is a quote from the ceremony, one of the most recognizable names in women's hockey? Why can't you say one of the most recognizable names in hockey? That's not incorrect. When you talk to someone, even the most let me throw this out at you. Even now, even after in two straight Olympics, Marie-Philippe Poulin has been the hero for Canada. If you asked a Canadian hockey fan to name one women's hockey player, even the most casual fan, if they're going to come up with any name at all, any name, they're coming up with Haley Wickenheiser. Because she's been that good. Because she has been that dominant. Because she is synonymous with the sport in this country. You don't have to preface it with one of Canada's top women's players ever. She's one of Canada's top players ever. And it's just So I don't want to go too far down this road. It's a little thing. It's not an Edmonton thing. It's a thing that we're still struggling with nationwide. And I'm not going to stand here and claim to be leading the charge into a pro-feminist movement, because there are some things that are said on some of these shows on this network that would indicate otherwise. I think Haley was great. I think she belongs absolutely shoulder to shoulder with some of Canada's greatest hockey players of all time. I just don't understand why we got to preface it. It doesn't matter. She's right there. Like, name the players that you think matter for Canada. And it's weird because it's not an NHL thing. So it's an internet. Paul Henderson? Okay, Paul Henderson was kind of a 20 to 25 goal guy in the NHL who scored one of the biggest goals ever. Like, let me put that into context for you. It's tough to do. It really is. Let's say, well, you know what? It's not that hard. Jordan Eberle. Okay. Jordan Eberle is a 20 to 25 goal guy in Edmonton who scored a huge goal in Canadian hockey history. Is Jordan Eberle going to go on to be one of the best ever NHLers? No, probably not. He's going to have a good career. He's going to put up some numbers, and the Oilers are going to do what they're going to do. But that's a gigantic goal. That's Paul Henderson. Paul Henderson was just a guy. He wasn't Bobby Orr or Phil Esposito. He's just a guy. Okay. Haley Wickenheiser wasn't just a gal. She was the driving force for a long time. And, you know, when you go down the list of all-time Canadian hockey players who've done big things for Canada, she stands right there. And at the end of her career, so will Marie-Philippe Poulin. And it just seems weird that we have to preface it as saying one of Canada's best women's players ever. Yeah, you know what? No, it's one of Canada's best players ever. So I don't want to spend a ton of time on that. It's a weird thing that we're all still wrestling with and how to handle it. And I'm certainly not the right guy to be leading the charge on that. And I don't want to be. But it bugged me a little because in the ceremony that they had in Edmonton, two or three times very early on in the ceremony, the PA guy is won't just say, and it's not him. He's handed a script. He won't just say one of Canada's best players ever. It's one of Canada's women's players. And okay, I guess. Was really cool to see Wayne come down. Like I said, he's a member of Canada's management group and one of the all-time greats. So he's down at ice level to kind of pay her some respect. That was pretty cool. To me, what was really cool was seeing the ceremonial face-off with Connor McDavid there. And really, at any time that Haley Wickenheiser was on the national team, you could make an argument that she was the best player. She was never the best sniper. Like, she was never Connor McDavid in international hockey. And I really enjoyed what Wayne had to say in terms of he kind of phrased it, he kind of got caught up on his own words. He was tripping over his tongue a little bit, but saying, you know, I don't think he'd mind me saying this. I'm quoting Wayne here roughly, that she was the female equivalent of what is in his mind the best player ever, Gordie Howe. Now, most of us at home sit here and go, Wayne's the best player ever. The only other person in the conversation would be Bobby Orr. But he thinks Gordie Howe is the best player ever. So when he compares you to Gordie, he's calling you a god, basically. And it makes sense because I'm not saying it makes sense to compare any athlete to a god, obviously, but she played far more of a Gordie style than a Wayne style. You know, if you want to call it that, if you want to break it down, there's no hitting in women's hockey. There's absolutely contact in women's hockey. And she was tough and she would grind it out. Right. And she would do absolutely everything she was allowed to do within the rules and push that boundary. And she was phenomenal to watch. I had the chance a couple of times to watch her play. Two of them really that come to mind. I mean, we all remember the Olympics. 02 is a really strong... Like, if you... It's all over the place on YouTube if you want to check it out. That 2002 Olympic gold medal game in the United States, and I didn't even think this was allowed, and maybe it's not anymore, and maybe it's because of this. We all remember, at least those of us who watched the game and are interested in these kind of things, that in that gold medal game, Canada-USA in Salt Lake City 2002 at the East Center, just outside Salt Lake, Canada wins that gold with an American referee just hammering them. I don't remember when it became not okay to have, like, Canada-USA are playing a gold medal game. Why are you giving a referee from either of those countries that game? You'd like to think that referees from any country have the integrity to call the game straight up, but they don't all. Okay? So... And I'll never forget this name. I went back and I did a little research, but I already knew what I was looking for. I wanted some details on a few different games that Wickenheiser played, a few different scenarios that Team Canada was going into. But I already knew this name. I'll never forget it. Stacey Livingston. That was the American referee who ran that game. And it's really easy when your team loses to jump up and down and say that was trash officiating. But I remember... In 2002, being 19 years old, watching this women's hockey game. At this time, I don't know most of these names, right? But I remember watching this game and wondering, what the hell am I looking at? At one point, the Americans have 8 straight power plays in a gold medal game. She is openly, freely, publicly trying to hand the game to the Americans. There's a goal in the second period, I believe, of that game that Haley Wickenheiser scores. And it's one of those things where it's like you're looking at some of the best names ever in women's hockey. Cassie Campbell passes it forward to, I believe, Jennifer Botterill, who fires a shot that gets the rebound and Wickenheiser scores. So those are some huge names. You start looking back at that team. Sherry Piper is on that team. She scored the first goal for Canada. Like, is it Carolyn Ouellette, Jennifer Botterill, Cassie Campbell, Haley Wickenheiser, Kim St. Pierre is in goal. I believe Sammy Jo Small, one of my favorite hockey names ever, is the backup goalie. Like, what a great team. And they're openly and freely and publicly, like I said, being fucked by this American referee. And that's, of course, what leads us to the big speech that is one of Wickenheiser's, you know, huge moments that she'll be remembered for. In 02, after that game, and this story gets kicked around a little bit and people have their own memories of it or their own versions of it. But Don Cherry tells it, and you can make of that what you want, but he's working that game with Terry Leibel, who's a CBC. Terry's been around for a very long time. She's done a lot of stuff. She works CBC amateur sports. She's done some horse jumping stuff. She was around a long time at the Olympics. So she's working the gold medal game with Don at this point, and she can see on the ice when the game is over, Wickenheiser's coming. CBC's in a commercial. And Don's looking at Haley, and she's coming for that camera. And he's telling Terry Leibel and the producer, get back. Get back from commercial now. We need to... And so they come over, and they interview her a little bit, and that's where that infamous scene comes from, where she says, we heard the Americans have our flag on the floor of their dressing room, and now that we've beat them, I'm not paraphrasing this last part, I want to know if they want us to come sign it. Awesome. Just awesome. Because we're supposed to be, as Canadians, kind of polite and a little laid back and all these sorts of things, and she's coming right for it. Now, Ron McLean, as recently as tonight, has said that wasn't true. They didn't have our flag on the floor, and that was one of those things that Canadian management made up to try to motivate them. The other story, and this is the story that I tend to believe a little more, a lot of people call it the flag stomping incident. I think that's unfair too. I do believe the Americans had the Canadian flag on the floor of their dressing room as a reminder. I don't think their players were stomping on it. I don't think it was meant to be disrespectful. I think it was a reminder that this is who you have to go through to do this. Don't forget, while you're pounding out Switzerland 10-1 or whatever you're going to do, at the end of the day, that's who you've got to go beat. A constant reminder is always right there in your dressing room. That's what I tend to think. I don't think there was disrespect meant, but when you're trying to, like, don't forget, the USA had beaten Canada 8 straight games going into the 2002 Olympics. Through Four Nations Cups, through World Championships, the 1998 Olympics, USA beats Canada in the final. So I think that's what happened. There's a lot of versions of that story going around. I've read up as much as I possibly can on it. And to me, that's the one that makes the most sense, that it did happen, but it wasn't quite what was given to the players. It wasn't quite what Haley was. But you're jacked up. When you're playing that hard and you're being screwed over that hard by officiating, 8 straight power plays in a gold medal game, Canada-USA with a USA referee, you're jacked up when you finally beat them, and she comes skating hard for that camera when they get back for commercial, and she's ready to go. I love that. I love that. Man, not many people, you start to think back to, you look at some of the NHLers who represent Canada and this and that, and God love them, right? We all cheer for Team Canada and this and that. We all play for Canada. Yeah, that whole thing. They're very diplomatic. They have to go back and they have American teammates and Russian and Swedish and Finnish teammates. And maybe the referees who are doing it are also NHL referees. No, not the case on that. Not on that thing. She's coming at you and she's saying, here's what I think. Here's what you did. And I just crushed you. And the fact that she scores in that game is awesome. A couple other quick things as we kick this around. I have a couple of really strong memories of watching Wickenheiser play. One was the 2002 Four Nations Cup, which I had never heard of until I went to it. It was held in Kitchener, Ontario. At this time, my family is from Oshawa, just east of Toronto. Kitchener is an hour and a bit west of Toronto. I'm going to school in Sarnia, and a friend of mine, maybe a little more than that at the time, she's also going to school in Waterloo, right near Kitchener. So we're all hanging out that weekend, and on the Sunday, all of a sudden we go, oh, hey, Canada's playing USA in the finals of the Four Nations Cup. I got to go back home to Sarnia. She's got to go back home to Waterloo. The family's got not much going on. Let's drive down and see it in Kitchener. And we went and saw it. I got to be honest with you. I did a little research here. I read the final score as I was doing the research. I don't remember that, you know, what I read. I don't remember what I said. Canada won in a tight game over the USA at the Kitchener Odd, which was a lot of fun. That's the first and only game I've ever seen in that building. It was rocking. It was loud. It was obnoxious. It was pro-Canada, and it was a lot of fun. So that was a blast. Not a major competition, right? The Four Nations Cup. So maybe there was some players left behind. Maybe not everybody brought their best. But Canada-USA in a gold medal game is going to be pretty good. The other time I got to see Wickenheiser in person was the 2013 World Women's Championships, which were here in Ottawa. We went out, I think it was day one of the tournament. And I went back, I did a little reading up on this. And she really wasn't an impact on that game. we went out. It's funny. I sent a text to my buddy Ty. We've had Amy Burke on some of these shows before. I've known her husband, Tyler, forever. He's a good friend of mine. And we went out to this thing together. Amy came and another guy that we were, you know, came out with us. We bought a day pass. And I I'm pretty sure this was day one of the tournament. And so we saw, this was actually the first time that they split the divisions a little differently. Instead of putting Canada in one and USA in one, like, and trying to balance them, they went to kind of a level one and a level two, even within the top level of world championships. So I believe Pool A was Canada, USA, Finland, Switzerland. And Pool B would have been Russia, Sweden, I think China. I could be wrong on that. I like I said, I just did a bunch of research on this before turning on the mic. China might have been the Salt Lake thing. It was China and Kazakhstan there. And but the idea was that you get more games at your level. Instead of Canada and the USA destroying everyone in their pools, Pool A is Canada, USA, Finland, Switzerland, the top four teams. The top two teams in that pool will get a bye to the semifinals. And then in the quarterfinals, whoever finishes third and fourth in Pool A will play first and second in Pool B. And you know, you're supposed to be bridging these gaps a little bit. And it was a cool idea. I really liked it. The tournament was set up for Pool A to play out of the, at the time, Scotiabank Place, now Canadian Tire Center. Used to be the Corral Center. Before that was Palladium. It's had some names. They can't seem to settle on one. I thought it was a cool way to do it. The Pool B played at Nepean Sportsplex. It wasn't. We've talked about the World Juniors in 2009 being hosted here in Ottawa, where Canada's pool was out at Scotiabank Place, and the smaller pool being played at the Civic Center, which was about 10,000 seats. Yeah, that wasn't going to work for the women's game, and so they had to put it at Nepean Sportsplex, and that was one of the things I texted Ty about. I said, what do you think the cap is there on the main rink? I said, you think they're hitting 1,000? And he replied, and he goes, it's no more than that. So I don't know what they drew all the time out there. But when we went out for this day pass, which is how we got our tickets, so you get to see two games. So we saw at 3:30 in the afternoon, Switzerland and Finland. And it says on the website that the attendance was 3,000. I would be shocked if that's what was the case. I'm sure there were other people who bought the day pass or like the tournament, the full tournament pass, and then just didn't come. But there was not 3,000 people in the stands. There was empty seats everywhere. If it was 1,500, I'd be whatever for Switzerland, Finland. And so later on, this was also confusing to me because we had, you know, as the second half of the game was, or the day pass was Canada, USA. And that's really why you bought it, right? So it's Canada, USA, opening day of the tournament. And this was the other reason that I wanted to send a text to Ty. It says on the Wikipedia page, and we all know Wikipedia is the be all end all. Attendance for that game was 11,000. And so I sent that number to him and I said, does that seem right to you? Because it seemed full and it seemed loud. And he responded and he said, if that was the number, then the 300s were empty. Because where we were in the lower bowl, it was full and it was loud. And one of the interesting things, I don't want to spend a ton of time on that. I don't know if that number's correct or not. I guess it must be. They wouldn't have just made it up. But the lower bowl was basically full and it was loud. And there was a lot of kids. It was cool. There was a lot of kids. There was a lot of families, a lot of young girls. Like the cheers when Canada would score a goal were very high pitch, right? Which usually indicates there's a lot of kids, a lot of girls in the crowd, a lot of women in the crowd. And I believe later in the tournament, according to the website, they would set the all-time record for number of fans at a women's game at 16,000. But there's some controversy around that number, and that seems to center around the fact that the Ontario Provincial Women's Championships were in the Ottawa area, and a pile of tickets were given away to some of those teams, or it was part of their registration or whatever, and it pulled that number way up. I don't know what that's all about, but you're talking about, you know, at least 10,000 for a couple of games to see women's hockey. I think as it continues to grow, that will become less important. That number won't be as big of a deal. But at the time, you know, and we're only going back about 4 years ago, but it was a big deal. And like I said, when I was at the Kitchener Odd in 02 for the Four Nations Cup, which is a cool building, but someone will correct me, but it seems like it maxes out at 7,000 or 8,000, maybe a little less. And now I'm at Scotiabank Place, and it's at close to 12,000, and then a couple days later at 16,000. Those are good crowds for women's games, because it was awesome hockey. Canada defeated the U.S. in a shootout, and Canada was trailing most of the game. They come back, and again, this all stems around Wickenheiser. She's on this team, but she doesn't impact hugely into this game. But when they tie it up, the place is going crazy. And when they win in a shootout, the group that I'm with is jumping up and down, and people are hugging each other and whatever. And that's happening all over the stadium. So really cool, really positive things that she was a part of growing. Like, she joined the team at 15 years old, like 20 years ago. So it's really interesting to see how far it's come. And that's twice that I've got to see big time games and have a blast doing it. You throw on that red and white jersey with the maple leaf on it, people are in. It doesn't seem to matter a whole lot whether it's men's or women's. And she was a part of kind of equalizing that. The last thing I want to bring up, and I won't spend a ton of time on it because we all saw it, Sochi 2014. One of the most, and possibly the most dramatic hockey games I've ever watched. Now, some of that, it was pretty tense, 72 hours for Canadian hockey fans. If you remember, that was around the time that Canada is playing Latvia to a 2-1 win or whatever it was on the men's side, and would only defeat the United States in the semifinal 1-0. In the gold medal game of the women's tournament, Canada trailed all the way through that game. Marie-Philippe Poulin ties it very late at 2. And when we go to overtime, if you remember, Canada's on the power play when they score. I think it's a 4-on-3. There's one American, two Canadians. No, fuck. Two Americans and one Canadian in the box at the time that this happens. Do you remember who drew the penalty? Yeah, it's Haley Wickenheiser. That final penalty, she gets hauled down after turning the puck over at the neutral zone. Not her turning it over, her forcing an American to turn it over. And she's turning and going and gets hauled down. That's a veteran play. It seems like it's obvious, but you got to keep your legs moving. And you can go back now and you can watch the video, which I did before coming on this show and firing up the mics. Keep your legs moving. And when that puck gets turned over and she turns to go and gets hauled down, she doesn't stop. She doesn't dive. She doesn't flop. Keep your legs moving and show the ref, I'm trying to go. And I got hauled down. And that's what happened. So you go to a 4-on-3 and there's a ton of ice and everybody remembers what happens at that point. Marie-Philippe Poulin gets set up again and she scores the winner. And it would be hard to argue at this point that she may not go on to become the greatest women's hockey player of all time, at least for Canada. But at the time, it's Haley Wickenheiser that makes that happen as a leader, right? There's a ton of turnover. We talked about that 0-2 team and all those veterans. by the time we get to 2014, and we've skipped over 2010, which she won, but she makes that possible. She turns and creates that play, and she does it by playing hard, by playing it the right way. So we won't spend a ton of time on that, but Haley Wickenheiser, 4 Olympic gold medals, 4 in a row, not just 4, but 4 in a row, 7 world championships, played in a men's league in Europe. One of the cool things, and it's funny because I would have been one of these people, that she said when they gave her the mic today during her ceremony, one of the things that she said was her son, who was at the ceremony standing out on the red carpet with her at center ice, it was very cool to see. She said, "Mom, maybe this is the moment, do you think, where people will stop associating me as the 2-year-old that you were holding in Salt Lake in 02? And I remember that picture. They announced her son Noah to walk out with all the other dignitaries who were there at the ceremony. And I'm looking going, who is this kid? Because if you're like 2002, that's 15 years ago, right? But everybody remembers that iconic shot. And it's something that you don't really get as much in men's hockey. You do see it from time to time. But especially around the Stanley Cup things, people bring their wives and their kids and their whatever. That 0-2 thing, she's got her 2-year-old son. I think he's just shy of 2 out there with her. And everybody remembers that shot. That kid's 17 now. That kid's driving now. And so to, you know, for her to mention that and to watch him walk it, that was kind of cool, right? So, you know what? We plan to have a little bit of Leafs talk on this show, but this has been perfect. You know what? One of the best players ever, had a chance to see her live a few times. And while she wasn't at, you know, maybe her most impactful during those games, she was certainly noticeable. You could always, when 22 jumped on the ice, the place would kind of buzz a little bit. But she wasn't the end-to-end, carry the puck, rush, and do something crazy with it player. She was the Peter Forsberg. She was the Gordie Howe, right? She was the, I'm gonna do this the hard way. And it's interesting because a group of Canadian soccer players on the women's side also retired. Melissa Tangrady, probably being the bigger name of the three. It's a tough week for sport on the women's side in Canada. There's some big names that are stepping away. But man, Haley Wickenheiser, most people don't remember, played softball for Canada in the summer games, right? So, man, what an athlete. Not many people have done that either. Like Clara Hughes, we're in limited numbers here in terms of people who represented Canada on the men's and, on the winter and the summer side of the games. She's one of them. And she loved doing it, loved the Maple Leaf. Her tweet, like I said, where she announced her retirement, thanking Canada, an honor to represent you, all these things, right? What a player, and what a role model. I said it on Facebook in a thing to just friends. You know what? It was clearly inspirational when you ask some of these younger players who are on Team Canada, including Marie-Philippe Poulin. Like I said, Haley Wickenheiser made it 20 years ago as a 15-year-old. There are players that have played with her, including who won that gold medal in Sochi, who were inspired and motivated to go do it because of her, and then caught up and got to play with her. That's important, right? That's impressive. So, I don't think we're going to get into anything else on this show. I think we leave it right there with Haley Wickenheiser. Nobody ever did it any better. Here's to Wick. All the best in retirement. And as for us, we'll see you all on the next one.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.